Welcome to the Radio Bible Course and our continuing study of the book of Hebrews. We are in Hebrews chapter 11. We invite you to turn in your Bibles and follow along. Today we talk about the hope of believers. It begins with Hebrews 11, verse 13. It says, "These all died in faith." Let me pause here. "These" refers to Abel, to Enoch, to Noah, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These all died in faith, not having received what was promised, but having seen it and greeted it from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Now these men, including Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who are mentioned in verse 9, lived as strangers and pilgrims on the earth with the promises of God, but they did not see those promises fulfilled. Although they lived in Canaan, this promised land, this land was not unlike the wilderness to them, in which the children of Israel wandered for 40 years. That was not home. Conditions were difficult, and they were in the land of Canaan also. Abraham did receive the promise of a son, but he did not receive the promise of the land as a possession. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15 spoke of that promise in regard to multiplying his seed. God promised that. He said He would have many descendants. But He didn't say too much about getting that land under His feet. In Genesis chapter 23, verse 4, when Sarah died, Abraham said to the Hittites, "I am a stranger and a sojourner to you." A sojourner is someone who dwells temporarily in a place. Well, in verse 14 of the chapter we are studying, Hebrews 11, the author says, people who speak thus admit that their dwelling place is not their home, nor were they thinking of their former homeland, which was what? It was what we call Mesopotamia, the present country of Iraq. They could have returned there if they wanted to. But their desire was heavenly. Verse 16 points that out. The homeland of their heart was God's country. And God's country is not down here, no matter how beautiful we find the mountains, the rivers, or the beaches. God's creation is astounding. But He has prepared an even better place for us. And this is exciting. I've been to many beautiful places in this world. I just recently returned from Czechoslovakia. I have been to Switzerland and most of the countries of the Mideast. Recently I visited India. I've been in the Bay of Tokyo and on Okinawa and Guam and Hawaii. And I've been in many parts of this country. God has made something beautiful. But I'm more excited about the new place, my heavenly home. If what He made down here, which has been largely corrupted by man, is beautiful, then think of that uncorrupted place in heaven which awaits us. Now the land of Canaan and the city of Salem, which later took on the name of Jerusalem, were only tokens of the spiritual hope of these patriarchs. What's the author trying to tell his readers here in Hebrews chapter 11? He wants them to know that their citizenship is in heaven. Does the Bible tell us that elsewhere? Yes, it does in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which Also, we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter added a note to that in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 11, I beseech you, as aliens and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh that war against your soul. If the Hebrews were discouraged by persecution, the writer wants to focus their attention on the people of faith in the Old Testament who were not preoccupied with worldly fame and possessions. They had promises from God and confidence that God would keep His word, but they wanted God more than security and comfort on the earth. Now the Bible tells us in verse 16 that God was not ashamed to be called their God. When I first read about Jacob's deception and greed, I was disappointed. I didn't like Jacob. But even with him, God was not ashamed to be called the God of Jacob. And that expression is used in the Bible more often than the God of Abraham or the God of Isaac. He's not ashamed to be called the God of Nick Kalavoda, in spite of all the things that I have done, the mistakes that I have made, and the people I have offended. He's not ashamed of that. Why not? Faith is the only reason. Without faith, God would be ashamed of me. He calls himself your God, too. He gave his Son to make that possible. And he wants to treat you as a member of his family. There's only one way into his family, and that's through faith. We are born into the family, but not physically, spiritually. Now, your parents may have been Christians, but you cannot enter the family of God by your parents. It's not by blood. It's not by the will of man. It's not by inheritance. It comes only by a birth from God. That's what John said in John 1:13. And that is the reason Jesus said to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does it take to be born again? First of all, we need the seed of the Word of God. Whenever there is a birth, there is a seed. And the Bible tells us that the Word of God is that seed. Peter put it this way, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. I don't know of anybody who became a Christian apart from the Word of God. Is it possible to become a Christian apart from the Bible? I don't think so. Because to become a Christian, one must believe something. And the Bible is the only thing to believe because it alone is God's Word. We cannot believe men. We can't follow the creeds of religions. But we do have to have a word from God. And amazingly, when we believe what God has promised, He saves us. Are you sure that you have the salvation that God promised? Some people are too proud to admit that they don't have it. Somehow they feel that's something to be embarrassed about. But it isn't. A person without eternal life is not a person who is stupid. A person without eternal life is not necessarily a person without an education or intelligence. A person without eternal life is a person who probably hasn't heard the gospel. If he has heard it, he has rejected it, and he still is lost. Now, everybody is lost until he is saved. We are all born dead in sins until we are born of God, and then we are alive in Christ. Now, let's talk about the faith of the patriarchs. That begins with verse 17 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was ready to offer up his only son, of whom it was said, quote, through Isaac shall your descendants be named. End the quote. He considered that God was able to raise men even from the dead. Hence, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his burial. Well, first of all, we have Abraham's test to consider. The incredible story of Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his only son by Sarah is found in Genesis chapter 22. It's a great story. I want to read it. There are 10 verses. Listen to it. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him 2 of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the 3rd day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the 2 of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the 2 of them went on together. When they had reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." This was God's test of Abraham, and Abraham passed the test. And the book of James tells us in chapter 2 that Abraham was justified by this work. Genesis 15 tells us that God declared him righteous forever for his faith in God's promise. But here in Genesis 22, he was justified in the eyes of men. As they read this account, they knew that Abraham had faith. Do you ever pray for the forgiveness of sins? Many people do, some because they have not believed in Christ for that forgiveness. Our free booklet on grace explains how you can be completely forgiven. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.